Welcome to The Radical Word, the chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Lancaster, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel, French Valley. Open your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so that the Word of God can do a radical work in you.
Here we are, new year. I love once every 7 years, Christmas falls on a Sunday. I love that. Now, it kind of, you know, you got young families and all that, or you have the big deals, you go place, okay, may not be all that cool, whatever. But I love the fact that once every 7 years, Christmas falls on a Sunday, because then we gather together as the family of God and celebrate Christmas together. I love that. Well, each time that happens, another thing happens. 1 week later, New Year's Day falls on a Sunday as well. I like that too. I like the idea that the very first place we show up on the new year is church. We're here to worship God on the first day of the year, and I pray that's a picture or a symbol of how this year is going to go for us. If we give the Lord of our first fruits, He promises to bless us. He promises to be with us. And so I just love the gathering together. Obviously, not everybody agrees with me, but that's okay. You're here, so thank you for that. It was a long night last night, I understand. New Year is an interesting time of the year. You know, it's one of those holidays. We call it a holiday. I always kind of have a weird feeling about calling New Year's a holiday, you know, because the word holiday, you know, if you break it down, means holy day. There's really nothing holy about January 1st. I'm sorry. It's just the first day of the calendar. We flip the calendar over. It's a new year. But it brings with it different kinds of feelings and emotions, and in many cases, activities. You know, we often take it, and I often reflect upon it in a very similar way that I do around my birthday. You know, when a birthday rolls around, for me, I've always done this. It's always a time reflecting back on what the last year was, on the things I wanted to do, the things I was going to do, the things I did or didn't do, whatever it is. And so we have these different emotions, sometimes emotions of frustration because we didn't accomplish what we wanted to. Sometimes we reflect back on the year, and as Troy said, there are great things to be thankful for and rejoice in. We got a couple babies back in there, so be thankful for. You know, sometimes, you know, it's not so easy. Sometimes, you know, we look back on the last year, and there's negative emotion, sadness, or grief, and many, many different things that we might do. And so, you know, New Year's, it's different for everybody. You know, if we were to do an inventory of this room, we would have all different kinds of thoughts and emotions about the new year and what it means to us. But many, frequently, and we see this happening all the time, people reflect upon the new year and they look back on the year and they say, you know what? That could have been better. 2016 could have been better than it was. In fact, I want 2017 to be better than 2016. So what do we do? What do we do? Say it out loud. Resolution. Make resolutions. We make a resolution and to do it differently, to make it better, to make ourselves better, or to make the year better. You know, resolution, the definition of resolution is a firm decision to do or not do something. Let me set your mind at ease. We're not going to talk about resolutions today. We're not going to talk about the different resolutions that people make and why they usually don't keep them. Okay, we're not going to talk about that today. Instead of making resolutions, I'm going to encourage you to develop some habits, some new habits. Now, I'm teaching this on New Year's Day, but this is a timeless truth that we doesn't matter where we are, what we're doing, what time of year it is. These truths can change our life, can make our life better. Habits that will prepare you to respond to the Word of God in such a way that your life becomes better. Let's pray, and then we'll get into our text for today. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word, because from your word, we can determine what it is a good life means in your eyes. And when we talk about a happy new year, Lord, it is a wish. It is a desire that we have that 2017 be better than 2016 or any other year that we've had in our life, maybe. That 2017 would be different than the year before. But how do we bring that to reality? Lord, that's what we need to know today. And so I pray that you would open our hearts today as we're going to talk about our hearts today. It's within our hearts that we prepare the ground for good in our lives. And so I pray that each of us would have ears to hear what you would say to your church today, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of this morning's message is New Habits for the New Year. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. We're going to look at a very familiar parable of Jesus, the parable of the sower and the seed. Many of you, I'm sure, have heard sermons on this parable before. A parable is an illustration, a word picture taken from ordinary life, from the natural world, to define and explain a supernatural truth. That's what a parable is about. And Jesus teaches this parable in Matthew 13. And we have in this particular parable a description of four different kinds of ground and what happens when seeds are introduced to this ground. Just a little background so you know who the players are, I'll give you some of the information that behind this. The sower in this parable is God. The seed is the Word of God, or the truths of the Bible. And the ground is a human heart, the human heart. So we're going to go ahead and read through this parable, and then we'll break it down. Starting in verse 3, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You'll note that there are four types of soil, four types of ground, but only one of them bears fruit. Only one of them produces good. It's important for us to understand each of these types of ground, types of soil, and to understand why they don't produce fruit. It's important because if we're working toward a good life, our desire is to have a good year, our desire is to see good in our life, we need to know what produces good. And we need to understand what it is that does not produce good. Because we understand what doesn't produce good and what does produce good, we can determine what we do. We can understand which way we go and how we probably should live. So the very first type is the type by the wayside. By the wayside, that was in verse 4. The wayside is that part on the side of the field, on the side of the good ground. And the nice thing about this parable is Jesus explains it for us, so you don't have to trust me to hear what it's all about. So skip down to verse 18 of chapter 13. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower," Jesus still speaking, "when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside." Again, God is casting out the word of God. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm casting out the seed of God's word. And it's going to land on every human heart, on everyone that their ears can pick up the signals that I'm sending out. It's landing in their heart. And one of four types of heart are going to, they're going to have a different response to it based on the type of heart that they have. Some, he says, have hard hearts. Their heart is, the ground is hard. This is someone, there, nothing has been done to prepare their hearts to receive the word. Nothing has been done to make give the seed a place to even begin to take root. The wayside in a field is that part along the edges, typically where you would walk. It's a hard path around the fields. It's where the animals would walk with their carts and the people would walk along. And it's been tread upon so much that it's been compacted down to be very, very hard. Jesus says that those who do not understand the word are those that their ground is by the wayside. It's hard, just like the wayside is. What prevents us from understanding God's word? What keeps us from understanding it? Well, the very first thing is faith. Faith is, you're going to see that underlying all through this. Faith is believing God. Believing that God is, and that he, when he says something, it is truth. That's the very first step, is believing. But there are other things that harden a human heart. Things that get in the way of the heart receiving and understanding. One of the things is that heart has been trampled upon by others. Those that have been hurt, they've been offended, they've been betrayed, they've been abused, they've been neglected. And they've allowed all of the emotions that come from those things happening to them to build up in their lives, roots of bitterness and anger and resentment and fear and all of those things that are natural for that circumstance, all those things that come, they harden the heart. Grief, frustration, other things like that also have the effect of hardening the human heart. God has given us tools for all of these things. The tool that God has given us to deal with a hard heart is forgiveness. It's forgiveness. Forgiveness breaks up the hardness, either receiving the forgiveness of God for the things that I've done to my own heart to harden it, or forgiveness to others for the things they've done to harden my heart. Forgiveness is the tool to break up the hard ground by the wayside. The second type of ground is the stony places. We saw that in verses 5 and 6. Yeah, one of the things I've noticed, if you look at the fields around here, they're diminishing, but there are still some fields that are being, if you will, farmed. If you notice them, you look at them carefully, you'll sometimes see these kind of neat farms. They'll have rolling hills. And all of a sudden, there's a pile of rocks right in the middle of it. You know, it doesn't look natural because it probably isn't. Typically, what a farmer will do, he's, you know, plowing along, comes along with a rock. He doesn't want a rock right there. So what does he do with it? He moves it out of the way so that land, right, that spot right there can produce fruit, can produce grain or whatever it is he's trying to produce. He moves it out of the way. Let's read verses 20 and 21. That he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. This is a superficial Christian. This is a person who claims to be a Christian, calls themselves a Christian, but in reality, they are just in name only. There is no root in them. The stones that make a heart stony, the things that make a heart stony, are things like apathy, indifference, ignorance, selfishness, self-indulgence, self-centeredness, pride. All of these things are things that create stony parts of our heart. There are also the various sins that we find ourselves engaged in. The obvious ones, sexual immorality and alcohol and drugs and all those other things. The sins that we commit are also stones in our heart that prevent God's good from growing. Wherever those stones are, God's good cannot grow. For the Word of God to take root in our heart, those stones need to be pulled up. They need to be cast out. The tool that God has given to us for that is repentance. Repentance is the tool that deals with a stony heart. In verse 7, we see the third type of ground, and that is among the thorns. I was reflecting upon this during the servant service, and I believe this is probably the one that most Americans probably deal with, is this one more than any other. They all deal with all of them, but this one probably is the biggest one for us. Have you ever noticed that you don't have to do anything to get weeds to grow? You don't have to do anything. Matter of fact, the best thing to do to get weeds to grow is to do nothing, right? Why is that? Because that is natural for the ground. That's what naturally grows. You leave ground alone, don't tend it, weeds will grow. We've had some rain here lately. Are not the weeds popping up like crazy? It's nice to see green, but most of the time it's not, the kind of green we would hope for. Weeds are what would grow naturally in that place. Verse 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The thorns or weeds are the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Turn just a few pages to your left to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. I thought Troy was going to preach my message here when he started reading out of this. The cares of the world are those things that consume our thoughts, that the things of the world around us, and they start to take hold of our thoughts, and they start to grow up and literally to block our vision. In Matthew 6, 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. When you care too much about the things of this world, when you care too much about your needs and your wants and the different things that that can consume our minds, these weeds and thorns grow up and they block your vision. They make it very difficult for good to come into your life when all you're seeing in your vision is all of these things that are consuming your mind, your cares and worries and concerns. The tool that we use to deal with the weeds of our life is contentment. Oh, that's a hard one. Contentment is to be satisfied, happy, and thankful for what God has already given us. To be satisfied, happy, and thankful with what God has already given us. Tough one. Fourth type of ground is the good ground. Of the four types of ground, only the good ground produces fruit, produces good. And the good that is produced is in large quantities. I love that. If we make room in our heart for God, for His Word to do its work, it does much more than we are capable of doing on our own by large amounts. For every seed planted here in our illustration, a crop of 100, 60, or 30 times as much is produced. The message I get from that is God is hoping to make our lives super abundant. That's His desire. And what I believe He tells us in John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. In that word, if you study that more abundantly, it's the idea of super abundantly. Not just abundantly, super abundantly. For us to have happy, productive lives, our hearts must be good ground for the Word of God. Verse 23, back in Matthew 13. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Good ground produces good things. Jesus says two things are the indicators of good ground. Two things that should be happening if we want to see good things coming out of our lives. And it has to do with the Word of God. To hear and understand. To hear and understand the Word of God. If we desire to live and have a better life, to have a better 2017 than 2016, you know, there's something we need to do. And we typically know, okay, something needs to change. You know, as soon as my wife gets better, my life is going to get better. I'm sure that's how it works, right? You know, as soon as my kids get better, then, you know, my life will get better. As soon as my boss gets better, you know, so I'm praying, God, please change my boss so that my life gets better. But is that reality? We know something needs to change. Typically, we'll wish they would change. But sometimes we realize, you know what, I need to change. And that's why we make resolutions. I will do this, I won't do that. That's what we say. I give myself goals, you know, ranging from, you know, 1 to 10. You know, hopefully I get 2 done. But to make any kind of a lasting change, resolutions are not going to make any difference in our lives. We have to change the way we think. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we want to see good coming out of our life, one of the very first things that's got to change is our mind. We have to change the way we think. You know, to have a happier, more productive life, which we should desire for ourselves. You know, God didn't put us here just to be here. He put us here to be productive. And because He loves us, He wants us to have a good life. He desires that for us. To do it, we need to hear and understand the Word of God. That's what He says here in verse 23. To hear has that idea of listening with intent. It's not just putting up with me rambling for 45 to 80 minutes. Just thought I'd throw it out there just in case I run a little long. No, it's to hear with the intent of actually getting something out of it. Coming with intention, saying, okay, Lord, I know you've got something to say to me, and I'm waiting to hear it. To understand means more than just having an intellectual grasp of what's being communicated. It means to understand to a point that I can apply it to my life and then choosing to apply it. It does you absolutely no good to understand God's word if it doesn't apply to your life in a practical way. To make our heart good, we must hear it, listening intently, deliberately, and then looking for the truth that God is speaking to each of us and applying it to our lives, choosing to respond to it. Now, most of you here are believers. That's my belief. I believe that. I believe most of you are believers. I know many of you, most of you. That means, understand something. That means you are in type 4. You're in type 4. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, a true believer, you believe Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you died for your sins, he's coming back for you, and you're going to spend eternity in heaven, you're type 4. Okay? You're not type 1, 2, or 3. Only unbelievers are type 1, 2, or 3. You're type 4. But my question for you, is all of your heart good ground? Is all of it good ground? Let me answer the question for you so you don't have to think about it too long. No. You know how I know that? The Word of God says so. Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. You shall love the Lord your God with as much as your heart as you're willing to give him. Says with all your heart. Why would we have to be told to love God with all of our heart? Because it's possible to love him with part of it and not all of it. It's not an all or nothing deal. We can love God with part of our heart, but there's other parts of our heart that are not given over to him. And I believe what God would have all of us to hear out of this message today is God wants to expand his territory in your heart in 2017. That's what he's looking for. He wants more of the territory of your heart. He wants to convert more of your heart to good ground. A good farmer is intentionally trying to develop every square inch of the land that he possesses, right? Wouldn't you agree with that? Why? Because that's where he gets his money from. That's how he lives. The more of his land that he develops, that he grows crops on, the more he gets out of it. Same thing with God. God wants more and more of your heart so that he can produce what? More and more good from it. And the wonderful thing about God is he doesn't just take from us. If he's producing good in our hearts, do you know what we're getting to experience? Good. He lets us enjoy the bounty of the things he's doing inside of us. He wants more of your heart. So I'm going to share four habits that you can learn, every last one of us can learn, so that we can make more of our heart good ground for the Word of God to produce good in our life and through our life. Would that be okay? Do you mind if I take the next 50 or 60 minutes to do that? Okay, all year. It may take that long. All right. Four habits that will lead to a happier, to a better, to a more productive life. I believe that. First habit, break up the hard ground with forgiveness. If you are like most people, there are parts of your heart that have been trampled by others. to say that there are no parts of your heart that have been trampled by others, I'm not buying it. All of us have been betrayed. All of us have been offended. All of us have been abandoned. All of us have had something bad happen to us. Every last one of us. The only tool that God has given us to break up the hard parts of our own hearts, even if your heart is a good heart, even if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there are hard parts of your heart, places where others have trampled it and walked on it, maybe for decades. And the only way to break up that hard ground in your heart is through forgiveness. Forgiveness. You have to forgive. Sometimes we have to receive the forgiveness. God, our own sins have trampled, made hard parts in our heart. And we have to receive God's forgiveness for those past sins that we've committed that have hardened our own hearts. But for many of us, it's the sins of others that we need to forgive. And the longer we allow that hard spot to continue, the harder it becomes. And God can't grow good out of hard ground. We have to forgive. And we learn how to use that tool first by understanding just how much God has forgiven us. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Now, if you can extrapolate that, what Paul is saying right there is the amount or the degree to which you should forgive others is equal to the amount or the degree that God has forgiven you. How much has God forgiven you? Come on, say it like you believe it, church. Come on. Everything. Everything he's forgiven us. How much should we forgive then? Everything. That's hard, huh? Anybody? Admit it, it's hard. But that's what we're called to. Why? Why? So they can be let off the hook? No, because you've got hard ground in your heart that it's the only way to break it up. Let me tell you, I promise you, it works. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Doesn't it work when you forgive somebody? It may not change them, but it changes you. It breaks up those hard clods in your heart and makes it a place for God's good to grow. Make it a habit. Make it a habit to remind yourself just how much God has forgiven you. If you need to do it, write it down. Start writing down all the things that God has forgiven. Don't get too caught up in that because it can get weird. But if you need to, remind yourself just how much God has forgiven you for. And then you compare that to what you need to forgive someone else for. And you ask God to help you. God, help me to forgive them as much as you've forgiven me. For many of you, that may set you free. That may be the greatest thing God does for you in 2017, and I pray that he does it. Second habit, get rid of the stones with repentance. If I do any digging in my yard, I can't hardly put the shovel in the ground and pull out rocks. It amazes me how many rocks are in the ground. Even in places I've already dug up and pulled rocks out of, I go back to that spot again, there are rocks there again. I don't get it. It's like they're growing like potatoes in my yard. Yeah, when I find rocks in my yard, I have a couple of options, right? I have a few options. One of the things that I can do is rebury them, right? Put them right back in the hole they came out of. Well, what happens the next time I dig there? They're there again. They're probably twice as many. Don't ask me how that is, but it is. Or I can just ignore them. That doesn't go so well with my lawnmower, in case you're wondering. If you've ever seen the blade of my lawnmower, you know I've missed a few rocks every now and then. The best option is to pick them up and to get rid of them. Get rid of them. Stones in the life of a believer are sins. And we studied 1 John. 1 John tells us very clearly that we all have sins. We've all sinned. And God gave us repentance as a way to deal with our sins. Sins are those things that we do or the things that we think that are contrary to God, contrary to His word, contrary to His will, contrary to His nature. We allow those things in our life. They are stones. And just like the rocks in my yard, if you leave them in there, they multiply. They grow. I know it's true. I know it's true in my own life, and I know it's true in some of your lives as well. If you leave those stones in there, they're going to multiply. And I promise you, no good can come out of a life that has stones in it, that has sin in it. We have to identify those things. We have to find them, and we have to throw them out of our lives. And we do it by repentance. We admit to God that what we are doing is wrong, that it is sin, and that we repent. We turn away from it, committing never to go back again. Doesn't mean the next time you don't dig in that hole, there's not another rock there, but you get rid of that one. I find in my yard, the more often I throw those stones out to the edges of my yard, the fewer and fewer I find in my yard. We must repent. Any sins that we allow to continue in our lives will prevent God's good from growing in that part of our life. And it will affect your life. You've got to get rid of them if you want to have a good, productive, happy life. And so we need to make a habit of asking God to show us where the rocks are. Because sometimes we don't even see them, do we? We don't know what they are. We're doing our own thing. It's natural. Everybody else is doing it. And then God all of a sudden will show us something. And it's at that moment we need to pause and ask Him to get rid of it. Ask God to show you where the stones in your heart are and then repent. Our third habit for the new year, pull out the weeds in your heart with contentment. We live in a world that is always, always tempting us to want more than we have or more than we need. Always. You cannot go through a day without seeing, having come across your vision through many different media formats, somebody trying to tell you you need more or you need different. And every time we give in to these temptations, we are allowing a weed to grow up in our heart. And weeds choke out the Word of God. So the Word of God is cast into those areas where the weeds are, and nothing good comes out of it because the weeds choke them. Our tool for dealing with that is contentment. To be satisfied with what we have. Satisfied with what God has provided us. Satisfied with where we are. Too often, we focus on what God hasn't given us. We forget about all that He has given us. Just at some point, if you can do this, examine your prayer life. What are you praying for? A habit that'll make your heart good is to begin your day or your prayers or whenever you can by thanking God for what you have, by what He has done. Think about it for a second. When was the last time you thanked God that you're alive, that you have food, that you have clothing, that you have a house, that you have family, that you have a job, or whatever it is thanking God. And if you make a list of these things, you can find a lot of things. There are so many. Thank God that we live in the United States of America, because we could live somewhere else, right? If you start thinking about some of the places you could be living right now, you ought to be thankful. Be thankful. And then ask God for what you need. Ask Him for what you need. He doesn't mind that. He tells us to do that. But at the same time, as you're asking God for what you need, you teach your heart to be content where you are. Every prayer for something you need ought to be followed by thanking Him for where we are, for what we have. Philippians 4, 11 through 13, the Apostle Paul writing from a Roman prison. Not that I speak in regard to need, because I'm guessing in a Roman prison he had a need or two or 100, right? Would you agree that Paul probably had some needs in that prison? Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. It means to be satisfied, happy, and thankful for what God has done, what God has given. I know how to be abased, meaning to have nothing. I know how to abound, meaning to have lots, more than I need. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not an easy thing to do, right? You agree with that? And we live in a culture, I believe this may be one of the most difficult things for an American to actually come to grips with. Because we are so bombarded with messages communicating to us a message of discontentment. Every ad that you see is trying to make you discontent. That's what they're designed to do. So that you're not happy with what you have, so that you go out and get something that will make you happy, which it doesn't. So you have to get something else that might make you happy, but it doesn't. And it goes on and on and on. It's not easy. But verse 14 of that text I just read says that I can do all things through Christ, even learn to be content. Learn to be satisfied. Learn to be happy. Learn to be thankful with right where I am. Right what I have and nothing more. Maybe less. God might take more. He might give me more. He might take more. But I can be happy right where I am. Fourth habit. Make your heart good ground with the Word of God. Your heart cannot become good ground without a regular exposure of the Word of God. Amen. Cannot happen. Well, Pastor, I come and listen to you every other week or so. That ain't enough. That's not enough. That's not enough. Your heart cannot be good without a regular inflow of the Word of God. Regular meaning regular, like daily. That's why Andy talked about the one-year Bible. I've been doing that since I was saved. I've been doing that. Reading through the Bible once a year since I was saved. I'm still doing it. 20 years later, I'm still doing the exact same thing. Using different Bibles, but I'm doing the same thing. Why? Why would I do it this many times? I've studied through the Bible. Why would I keep doing that? Because it feeds my soul every single day. And my soul needs it. And it's part of that work to make my heart good ground for the Word of God to do the work that God wants to do to bring good into my life so that I have a good life. Because I want a good life. I'm not afraid to say that. I want a great life. And I want that for all of you as well. I don't get any bonus points if you read the Bible in a year. Just know that. You know the person that gets benefit from that is you. Well, I get some benefit because any good that comes into your life, he's going to share with me. So I like that. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. No, it's not. Make a habit of reading the Bible. Make it a habit. Not just read it. Because you can read it and get nothing out of it. But you need to, again, read it deliberately, intentionally. Read it to allow it to change you. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow and a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. But your heart must be open to that. You can't just read the word of God and expect the world to open up and, you know, the skies open up and angels singing and, you know, God's, you know, present, all that stuff. You have to be looking for him in the word of God, looking to see what message he has for you today, right now. Because if you do, if you read God's word that way, he has a message for you every single day, every time. Make a habit of letting God's word turn over the soil of your heart. And as he does that, he will reveal to you the hard spots. You know, something, your word will come in there and it'll kind of bounce. Ping! You know, wait a minute. That might be a hard spot in my heart. I wonder what God's trying to say to me. What area have I not allowed his forgiveness to tear up, to break up those claws? Or what area have I not forgiven someone? Or it might show me the stony places. It might show me sin in my life. Give me the opportunity to repent. It might show me the weeds, those things that are hindering and getting in the way of the Word of God being fruitful in my life. If you make a habit of these things, the area of your heart that is producing good will expand. If you're a believer, there's already good ground in your heart. There is. God just wants more of it. God wants to expand your good ground in your heart until it's all of your heart. So every bit of your heart is producing good. Little by little. If you practice these habits, little by little, the hard ground will be broken up. The stony places will be cleared and the weeds will be pulled out. And more good will be coming into your life and through your life. We wish each other a happy new year. You know, in the holidays, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It's a you know, projection of a blessing on them. You know, I want you, I wish you would have a happy new year. Because that's what we want. We want a happy 2017, right? Wishing something doesn't make it happen. There was a time in my life when, probably not as gracious as I should have been, that when the kids would ask, you know, or say they wished something would happen in their lives, they wished they had something, and I would say to them, hold out both of my hands, palms up, and I would say to them, wish in one hand and spit in the other and see which one fills up first. Now, obviously, not a very nice thing to say, but the point was that wishing something doesn't make it happen. If you want something good to happen in your life, you need to do something good. And what I'm suggesting to you today is that this year, in 2017, if you want something good to happen in your life, develop good habits. Develop at least these four habits, or start working on at least one of these four habits, and watch as God starts to work good in your life. And watch for the stony places in your heart, those places where you need to receive God's forgiveness or you need to give God's forgiveness. Look for the hard places. Look for the stony places where sins are present in your life, and get rid of those. Repent of those. Look for the thorny areas, those areas where you allow the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches to rise up, and pull those weeds out of your life so that you can start producing more and more good ground in your heart. And if you do that, you will start to see more and more good coming into and out of your life. If you want a good year, then we need to do good things. And the good things we need to do are those things that God has laid out for us. Amen?
Thank you for listening to The Radical Word. If you would like to get a copy of this message or this whole series, go to www.radicalword.com. To get more information about Calvary Chapel French Valley, go to www.calvaryfv.com. You can also reach us by phone at 951-600-3845. If you're in the Murrieta area, we would be blessed to have you join us at one of our services or Bible studies.
This is Pastor Rick. The Bible teaches that Jesus, God the Son, came and walked on this earth. He lived a perfect life and then died for the sins of the world, including mine and yours. By believing that and accepting that Christ's sacrifice was for your sins, the Bible says you will be saved. Why not do that right now, right where you are? Pray this prayer with me and mean it. Jesus, I need something radical to happen in my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life. Thank you for dying for me and giving me the hope of heaven. Help me to live a radical life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com so we can pray for you by name and send you some information to help you with your walk with Jesus. God bless you.